نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ضرب الله مثلا قرية كانت آمنة مطمئنة يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان فكفرت بأنعم الله فأذاقها الله لباس الجوع والخوف بما كانوا يصنعون. صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, in the verse that I've recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a parable of a locality, a town or city, that enjoyed three distinct blessings or favors. Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً, that Allah gives us the parable of a city, كانت آمنة, that enjoyed security. That's the first distinct blessing of this locality, that it was a very secure place, secure from crime, secure from oppression, secure from any kind of tyranny. The second blessing that Allah speaks about, كانت آمنة مطمئنة, that the people residing within this locality lived lives of contentment, inner peace, a kind of self-fulfillment. The Arabic word is اطمئنان. They enjoyed a life of tranquility. That's the second favor Allah speaks about. And the third favor Allah says, يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ, its sustenance came from every avenue. In other words, that locality enjoyed economic prosperity. People were wealthy. That's the ni'mah and favor of Allah. Now, if you look at these three favors, security, inner peace and contentment, and a vibrant economy or prosperity as such, these are three ideals that everyone lives for, consciously or unconsciously, individually or at a collective level. People want to be safe from crime. They don't want to be victims of crime. They want to lead a life of contentment, peace, inner fulfillment, and they want the bread made easy for them. So this is what we aspire for. And Allah says, Allah blessed this locality with these three distinct favors. But فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ, that community, that locality, displayed ingratitude to the favors of Allah. They took the safety for granted. They took inner peace as a natural state of their existence, or their prosperity they took for granted, that it could never change. And as a result, فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah transformed that community, Allah changed that city, and now made it taste the garb, libas al-Jew, the garb of poverty, wal-khawf, and the garb of fear. In other words, this community that once enjoyed this kind of prosperity, fulfillment, contentment, peace, and economic prosperity, was now beset, they were besieged by crime, by fear, and poverty. It became very difficult to make ends meet. Bima kanu yasna'un. And how did this transformation take place? Allah says, on account of their ingratitude to the favors of Allah. What is the greatest favor that we enjoy? Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. The deen, our deen, Islam is a way of life, is described in the Quran as the greatest ni'mah. When we turn away from the deen, when we turn away from the teachings of the deen, then we are displaying ingratitude to the favor of Allah. Another ni'mah Allah speaks about in the Quran is our brotherhood. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. You were once a fragmented lot, and Allah, through the deen, created this bond of brotherhood. When we begin fragmenting ourselves into little enclaves, then we are displaying ingratitude to this favor of Allah. Now, if you look at this verse, where people once enjoyed prosperity, safety, and they led generally content lives, and this conditions changed for the worse, and now they are beset and besieged by crime, and rate of inflation is escalating, difficult to make ends meet, etc. Look at this verse within our present context. 2 days ago, we had a national strike. People demonstrating against the escalating price of electricity. We know how the price of fuel is escalating. The price of food is escalating. So we're living in very, very challenging times. Politically, socially, and economically. These three things, our politics, our economics, and our social norms determine whether we're going to be in the first category or in the second category, beset by crime and fear. If you look globally, not only in South Africa, globally, according to some estimates, the prices of food, for example, has escalated by around 28-29% over the past 3 years. The price of fuel has escalated. And we ask ourselves, why? Where is this going to end? And how do we as Muslims respond to this? Firstly, we need to understand the factors behind the escalation in food, fuel, or electricity, etc. And there are many factors. One is that the price of food is now determined by the future markets. You have, for example, you have what is called the Chicago Board of Trade, the CBDT, that last year merged with the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. This consortium is the largest commodity or largest trader in commodity on the future market. In other words, the price of, say, grain is not determined by the farmer next door, but it is determined in Chicago. It is no longer based on supply and demand because it has been monopolized. People cannot live off the land anymore. That's one reason. You have a move towards biofuels, where essential commodities like grain and sugarcane are no longer directed at feeding people or feeding animals, but they're used now to create diesel, to create ethanol, etc. So there's a shift from feeding people to fueling people. Thirdly, as always, the price of fuel, for example, shoots through the roof every time there's some kind of instability in one region or the other. And there's a famous saying that if you want to control individuals, you control the price of food. And if you want to control nations, then you control the price of fuel. So you have another factor, and that is the kind of instability in the Middle East. Then you have a move towards genetically modified foods, for example. A classic case is a few years ago in Ethiopia, where there was famine, drought. And these people came in under the pretext of helping the farmers. They gave them GMO seeds to plant. The farmers planted the seeds. They then realized that you could not, the only way to harvest is to buy the insecticides and to buy the pesticides, etc., from these companies. So they could not grow food. Now they were dependent on purchasing the insecticides and pesticides, etc., from these huge companies. And what they also realized is that they could not replant the seed. The seed, a genetically modified seed, could be used only once. So again, food was monopolized, taken out of the control of the ordinary farmer. And now it is part of a very intricate network. Another reason for the escalation worldwide is the emerging markets in India and China. Together, they represent 40% of the total world population. And they consume something like 47% of the world's cement, 23% of the world's steel, 36% of the world's maize, etc. So whatever natural resources they are, they're consumed by these emerging markets. These are some of the factors that have led to the globalization of poverty, to the control of the price of food, fuel, or electricity. The truth, however, is that we can do very little to change that. What we can do is to respond appropriately to these challenges. What do we do as Muslims, both as individuals And as a collective, how do we respond to the strike that took place 2 days ago, to the price of electricity or food or fuel? We cannot change the course of events, but what we can do is learn from the conduct of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and from the teachings of the Quran, so that we respond appropriately. And some of our challenges, number one in these times, is do not flaunt your wealth. Do not flaunt your wealth. Nature of man is to look at those who have more than he has. And that creates a sense of deprivation, which in turn breeds jealousy, and jealousy attracts harm your way. Therefore, in one of the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst he was speaking of bad omens, negating the idea of bad luck or bad omens, he said that if there was such a thing like a bad omen, a bad luck, then it would be in three things. It would be in your mount, your house, and your woman. What this means is that these are three things that catch the eye. These are three things that creates a sense of deprivation. These are three things that every human being naturally yearns for. Your car, the car you drive, the house, the abode, your palatial home, and the beauty of women. These things have the potential of attracting harm your way. So do not flaunt your wealth. It is going attract harm your way. Secondly, in these times especially, we should be very cautious and guard ourselves against exploitation of any kind. Exploiting the customer, exploiting the employee, exploiting the domestic in our home. What kind of salary do we pay? What kind of hours do they work for us? How do we address them? What kind of body language do you use when we interact with them? We need to guard ourselves against exploitation. Exploitation is bad under all circumstances, but more so within our current context. So we need to revisit how we treat those that are in our employ, how we pay those that are in our employ, because the Quran speaks about exploitation and thereafter says, ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم لا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل. Do not eat your wealth through باطل, through exploiting one another. And thereafter Allah says, ولا تقتلوا أنفسكم. Do not kill yourselves. How is the first injunction related to the second injunction, where we are told guard against exploitation, and then said, do not kill yourselves? Because exploitation of any kind predicates a cycle of violence. You enter into self-destruct mode. You're not exploiting or killing the other partner, you're killing yourself. Thirdly, especially in these times, we need, as both at an individual level and at a collective level, look at social responsibility programs in the areas where we live? What are we doing to help those who do not have a home? What are we doing to help those who do not have access to water or electricity, do not have a employment? What role are we playing as Muslims in terms of our responsibility to broader society? And that was the power, that was the magnetic force that attracted people to the deen all along history. So we have a social responsibility as Muslims to people that are less fortunate around us. Remember, we make a living by what we earn, by what we receive. But we make a life by what we give. We make a life by what we give. So, we need to sit back as individuals, as a community, and say, what can we do in terms of social responsibility? How can we empower people in our locality? How can we discharge, firstly, this obligation where Allah says, Al-Khalqu Iyalullah, that the entire creation, irrespective of their religious or ethnic or racial background, Iyalullah, they constitute the family of Allah, whether they're Muslim or non-Muslim. فَأَحْسَنُ الْخَلْقِ إِلَى اللَّهِ, the best human being in the sight of Allah, man ahsana ila iyalihi, is that person who does good to the family of Allah. So when you see a person less privileged than you are, remember, he's part of the family of Allah. And Allah says, if you do good to him, you are doing good to me. So, both at a individual and collective level, we need to invest in social responsibility, whether it is through our time, through our wealth, through our skills, or through whatever Allah has blessed us with. We can make a difference. Everyone sitting here, Allah has blessed them with some positive skills. We can make a difference to someone out there. Use what Allah has blessed you with to make a difference. We need to ask ourselves one question, and that is where I will end. That what would the non-Muslim community living around here be deprived of if there was no Islam and no Muslims in this locality? Think very carefully. What would the non-Muslim community in this locality be deprived of if there were no Muslims and no Islam in this locality? Would they miss anything at all? And if the answer is no, then we need serious introspection as a community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our communities. May Allah give us the tawfiq of valuing the na'mas and the blessings that He has given us, and protect us from the garb of fear and poverty. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.